Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Merritt Island, Brevard County, Cocoa Beach, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Merritt Island. Have I said Merritt Island enough yet this morning? Oh, good day to you. I pray that you are having a wonderful day, and thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, where we are talking today about our deliverer. God delivers us from evil. And we've been in 2 Kings chapter 3 talking about a time where the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom had gathered together for war. And then all of a sudden, the lack of their planning created a life-threatening condition, not just but for them, but for their animals and for their entire army. And so we'll be talking about that as we get back in to that today. But I want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We look forward to your visit and pray that the love of Jesus fills your heart. We've had some exciting things that have happened. There was a lady at our church here a week ago that said that she'd been praying for her son, and he had given his heart to Jesus, and that was exciting. And another lady had been praying to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's very exciting. And so we're looking forward to souls being saved. We're looking forward to the Space Coast City Fest that is coming up March 28th and 29th, just a few weeks away. If you have not signed up to participate in that, or your church is not participating, you can check that out. There's information on Facebook. They have their own website. It's put on by the Lewis Palau Evangelistic Association. And so you can find out more about that. And so you'll probably start seeing yard signs go up throughout Brevard County here as we draw closer and closer. There's some banners. I've seen some of them as I was driving around, but then again, I knew what they looked like. So it's coming up 2 days. There's also some I think a surf camp that is the weekend before, like on the 21st. And so if you would be praying that God does a great and mighty thing through Space Coast City Fest. And I do have horrible news. I like to bring good news and refresh everybody with that. But this coming weekend is daylight savings time. It's when we spring forward and we lose an hour of sleep. Don't shoot the messenger. I just trying to keep you in the appropriate time frame so that you don't show up an hour late. You know, in all of the years I've been at church, I've noticed that the springing forward sometimes catches people off guard and they end up missing church. But very rarely do they miss that fall backwards part. And so just an interesting observation that I've made through the years. So tomorrow night is our midweek service, 7 o'clock p.m. We would love to have you come and be a part of that, where we've been studying the authority of the believer. And if you would like to know more about the authority that God has entrusted you as a child of the living God with, come and be a part of that at 7 o'clock. We also have our youth ministry on Wednesday nights at 7, and would be most excited if you showed up for that. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 11. We've covered this yesterday, but just to give you a little perspective. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. Then Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Mr. Optimism. Back to the Bible. Verse number 14, "And Elisha said, 'As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you, nor see you. But now bring me a musician.' Then it happened, when the musician played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, 'Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hands. Also, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones.'" So let's stop right there. By the way, just as a little piece of useless trivia that I gained through the years, I discovered that whenever these armies would go off to war, like we see here, that food ended up being one of the biggest challenges, that a lot of times soldiers would get sick and die because of the lack of food or the lack of water. And it was Napoleon who commissioned a project where he challenged scientists to come up with a way that they could preserve food in such a manner that they could get it to the troops that were on the battlefronts so that they would not run into situations exactly like the three kings here in 2 Kings chapter 3 did, Jehoram and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom. So anyway, it was a long-standing problem, and now you can get food just about anywhere, anytime, any way that you want it. I don't know where this stuff comes from, but there was recently an article about a guy who had been a science teacher, and he had a premium sandwich from a fast food restaurant. I won't name which restaurant it was. But he had this sandwich that he bought, and he was teaching his science class about it. Brought the sandwich home in his pocket, his jacket pocket, threw the jacket in the back of a closet, and 17 years later, his wife found it, and the only thing that had happened to the sandwich was that the pickle had withered and disappeared, and the buns had absorbed a little bit of the taste of cardboard, and that was kind of scary. 20 years, and it still looks like it just came straight off of the out over the register there. And there might have been just a wee bit too much preservatives in that one. That's what I'm thinking. So back to the scripture. What have I to do with you? The Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. That's in verse number 12. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Do you realize there was such a need for the word of God that even the royalty of the land said, we need to get to where the word of God is going to be heard. Okay? If we as a society do not realize the urgency enough to get us to move towards God, then there's something wrong with us. We need the word of God. No one is too rich. No one is too poor. No one is too distant. It is not too complicated a thing. It is very easy in most of our societies today for the word of God to get to the people who need to hear the word of God. It is readily available. We know people who are in the process of taking the gospel to a people who cannot read. They're illiterate. They don't know how to read. Well, if you put a book in someone's hand that doesn't know how to read, it is going to be a big, expensive paperweight. So they are taking these mobile devices. Some of them have cranks on them where they can charge the battery via cranking. Some have alternative charging techniques to where they can hear the Word of God in their language in a manner in which they can understand. And they don't have the ability to read, but they do have the ability to hear. And so even in those difficult circumstances, the Word of God is still highly, highly valued. I don't know about you, but I think that it would be great if when someone said, do you know this person, that we had a reputation such as Elisha, where when that person was asked about us, I'd say, oh yes, the word of the Lord is with him. The word of the Lord is with him. Like I've said before, the word of the Lord is not on a level playing field with the word of anybody else. His word is exalted above all other voices. And so we need to be known as a people of the word. I've told our church that I will not apologize for the word of God. I'm not going to try and reason away the word of God. The word of God stands the test of time. And we need to adjust our lives and our behavior to what is acceptable in the Word of God, rather than making the Word of God contorted and until it comes alongside of us and we somehow think that we have the Word of God's endorsement for behavior that God calls sinful. I want to remind you that without holiness, no one will see God. Holiness is not optional, it is mandatory. And so there, if the Word of God comes into a situation and our behavior doesn't change, then there was a problem with our reception. So we need to develop our daily devotional habits to such an extent that people realize that the Word of the Lord resides within us, not just on some days, but every day. And so these three kings show up at Elisha's tent door. And when Elisha greets them, he says, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. You know, I don't think Elisha necessarily would have passed the politically correct litmus test. You know, first of all, that's a pretty abrasive way to speak to a king, but it really is a challenging truth, and it causes a person to examine themselves and say, you know what? My gods are not able to help me get out of this situation. Maybe I need to have a relationship with the one true God. And so Elisha said, you've lived all of your life worshiping these other gods. And he makes it very clear here that the worship of Baal did not equal worshiping Yahweh. He makes it very clear that the worship of Asherah is not the same as worshiping the Lord God of Israel. It doesn't matter how sincere or how zealous they are. God, worshiping God is the ultimate. There are no equals. And he said, you know, you find yourself in a difficult situation and here you come running to me. Why don't you go try out your gods and see what they do for you? I remember hearing a missionary tell a story. They were working in a land that was filled with idols. And they went to one of these idolatrous temples one day, and they walked around and they said, that's what I thought. The ears don't work. The ears don't work. The hands don't move. The mouth never moves. It looks pretty, but it doesn't function. We need to be thankful that God is still a God who moves on our behalf, who still speaks to us the words of eternal life, and his hands are as a strong right hand, it's the hand of authority, and it's the hand of deliverance. But the king of Israel said to him, this is still in verse number 13, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." So here's Mr. Optimism once again, and he is talking about, he's brought us all together. We're not going to go consult those other gods. The only reason that we could be in the mess that we're in is because he intends to hand us over to Moab. Okay? I want to encourage you, don't base your theology, your understanding of God, on your circumstances, because your circumstances are not always a good, reliable standard. The Word of God is. The Word of God is. And Elisha makes a startling statement here in verse number 15. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you, but now bring me a musician." This statement here says that not all stand before God with the same merits. He said, if it was just Jehoram that showed up, I wouldn't look at you. I wouldn't clear my calendar for you. I wouldn't see you, because we do not have relationship with one another. The king of Edom, he said, I wouldn't respond to that situation. But there is one in this trio that has standing before my court, and because of that, I'm going to act. Let's be that guy. Let's be that person that says, you know what? I'm a child of the living God. And I might find myself in difficult circumstances, and when I do, and I appeal to my God, it's not like I'm appealing to any other God. My God pays attention to me. He knows what I think in my heart. He knows what I have need of before I even ask. He pays attention to the number of hairs on my head. He pays attention to the steps that he's ordered for my life. And right now, because of Jehoshaphat, they are getting set up to experience the deliverance that they all needed. They just needed to hear from God. So I pray that you and I would realize that when we offer to pray for someone, that there's getting ready to be kingdom business that takes place. Thank God for kingdom business. Thank God that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Jehoram could have come and been turned away. You say, does God discriminate against people? It's not that he discriminates against them. It is just that coming before the throne of grace is reserved for those who are repenting of their sins and are ready to walk the covenant life as a child of God. The first prayer that God hears from us is the prayer of repentance. And once that has been established, once there's that adoption into the household of faith, then all of a sudden we are set up for development in growing in our relationship with God and understanding the authority that we represent. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador has the full backing of the government that he represents. So that ambassador, when he stands there, he might, you know, be the only representative of a country that's there at that point in time, but there's an entire nation that stands ready to back up the message that ambassador has been sent to deliver. So because of Jehoshaphat's standing, Elisha said, bring a musician. Now he wasn't putting on, you know, his favorite 1950s radio. He wasn't putting on talk radio or you know, the 60s or the 70s or 80s or any of that sort of stuff. The music that was getting ready to be played was not just anything. It was designed to be worship music that would create an atmosphere where God would be enthroned on the praises of his people. This is the same dynamic that was used when Saul was demonically tormented, and they would say, you know what, we need to get a person who's skilled in worship here so that this demon realizes that they're evicted. Worship sets the stage. I think that we need to realize that when our churches come together for Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, whatever it might be for you, that it's not just a bunch of people who like to play instruments or who like to hear themselves do some vocal gymnastics or anything like that. It's not just about feeling good. It's about creating an atmosphere where we can hear from heaven. Okay. I watched a video. It's an older video. We provide a gift for those who visit Merit Assembly of God, and that they have access to a bunch of teaching videos, and some of those videos go back a long, long time. And so I was watching one of these, and this particular speaker said that when he asks people in church, now mind you, this goes back a long way, so it's not a new phenomena, but it still exists, that most people feel like their faith is not a vibrant faith, but more or less a dead orthodoxy, where they really don't know how to live victoriously, abundant. They don't understand how to live and put into practice the things that God wants them to experience in their lives. That needs to change. That needs to change. You and I, we should be able to hear from heaven. The first thing that we need to do to hear from heaven is to open up his word and say, God, what do you have to say to me today? The next paragraph says, then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, thus says the Lord. Those are the words that society longs to hear. They may not like it, but they know the real deal when it happens. There are way too many things that are out there that are trying to be a substitute for the authentic, thus says the Lord. And I will tell you that once you've experienced it, once you have heard from God and you knew it was God, and the word was not only proclaimed, but it actually came to pass as well, then you'll not want to try one of those substitutes. I'm not an artificial sweetener type guy. I would rather drink it without sweetener, without sugar, than I would to have something that's artificial. I'm looking for the real deal. And so the word of the Lord comes, and I will tell you this, that prayer and worship, they set the stage for us. Before we can resist the devil and he will flee, there has to be a submit yourself to God. God gives grace to the humble. And so we need to make sure that we position ourselves not just to be delivered from our latest emergency, but that we see spiritual victory that is going to advance the kingdom. And this is what he says, make the valley full of ditches. That probably ranks right up there with Naaman dipping himself in the Jordan River as like, really? That's your solution? That's your path of deliverance, is to dig a bunch of ditches right here in the middle of a barren place where there's not any water or anything like that. I don't know if you've tried digging a ditch or not, but when it's hot and it's dry, you're going to be sweating a lot. So, I mean, this would appear on the very surface to be looking contradictory to what would make sense. But what God was doing was in charging, commanding these individuals to create capacity in their life to be able to handle the provision that God was getting ready to provide. If you remember the story of the woman whose husband was a prophet and he died, and they were coming to take her sons away to satisfy the money that was owed him, and she was told, go and borrow as many vessels as you can. Bring them into your house and just start pouring that little bit of oil into those buckets. And she created the capacity. There ended up being supernatural provision. And when that happened, then she had a built-in customer base already. All she had to do was take the container back and said, I have your container. It's full of oil. Would you like to buy this? If not, she could take it to the market. She could sell the oil, clean out the dish that she borrowed, and then return it. Either way she went about it, the supply lasted until she ran out of capacity. How much of God do you want? How much deliverance do you want? We're not going to get to it today, but I will just give you a little sneak preview. The capacity that they created for to be able to retain the provisional manifestation of the answer to their prayers, it was getting ready to be filled with water, was also used as a for a secondary reason. And that was, it was used to entice the enemy to the place where they were not only going to be delivered from their hunger, they were going to be delivered from their oppression. God just doesn't want you delivered from your sins for all of eternity. He wants us delivered from evil for the sake of our life that we live here and now as well. I pray that your misery index runs very, very low. I pray that you want so much of God that you're ready to increase your capacity, and you say, you know what? I got such a great need for God. I don't need sin in my life. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.